Gospels to 1 John, the epistle near the end of your New Testament. 1 John chapter 5, verse 14 and 15. We're continuing our series on the Lord's Prayer. And we come this morning to the section where Jesus taught his disciples to pray, "Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." In context with that, look at verse 14 and 15, which have to be what I call one of the wow passages. You can't read this without saying, "Really? Like, is this really true?" Follow along as I read. "This is the assurance we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we asked of Him." Wow. I mean, that's amazing. That's downright amazing. It's almost too good to be true. That if we ask anything in accordance with God's will, it's ours. That's what the Bible says. Does it raise questions in your mind? I hope so. Let's ask the Lord to be our teacher this morning. Jesus, these words that we read are almost too good to be true. They're promises that perhaps many of us have learned as children or have heard as adults, but we've tucked away somewhere in our theological mental library, but they really don't have a whole lot of bearing on our lives because they just seem too good to be true. Or maybe, Lord, we've seemed to have made an attempt at putting them into practice and they seem to have failed and we don't understand them. Lord, this morning we ask that You, by Your Spirit, would teach us what it means to pray in accordance with Your will. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let me get right to the point this morning. When it comes to prayer, what on earth do you want? When it comes to prayer, what on earth do you really, really want? You see, if God gave you and me what we really, really wanted this week, would it be a touch of heaven on earth? Or would it be a touch of hell on earth? See, I don't know about you, but I have a whole series of desires, a range of desires in my person. And not all of the desires, the things that I really want, are necessarily good for me. And I found myself even asking God for things that in hindsight I look back and say, I asked God for that? If God gave me all the things I asked for, all the things I wanted, I'd probably be dead by now. God knows that not everything I ask is for my benefit, and it's for ultimately for the extension of His kingdom. And thankfully, He says no to some of my requests. Jesus said when we pray, we're supposed to pray, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be Your name, Your kingdom come," and then He said, "Your will be done on earth just as it is in heaven." We're to pray in such a way that our prayers are lining up with the will of God and that it has a bearing on our lives here. Now, if we're going to learn how to pray in line with the will of God, in such a way, as it says in 1 John, that we will know before we even pray that we have what we've asked of God. If we're going to do that, then I believe we have to understand at least three very important principles from the Scripture regarding this. The first one is our strategy, which is God's world. He said, when you pray, say, "Your will be done," where? On earth. Your will be done on earth, just as it is in heaven. Now think about it. The earth is home for humanity. The earth is the place that is not just an evolutionary accident, but it is a strategic place for God's promises. Do you believe that God has a plan for the earth and for the people on it? Do you? If you don't believe that, then why in the world would Jesus ask us to pray for that very thing? God does have a plan for this earth. He does have a plan for the peoples of the world on it. And that's what we're to be praying about. This earth is God's world. It's His. And He has a very strategic plan and purpose for it. And that's why we're to pray for God's will to be done on this earth. This earth that is the place where the kingdom of God is in conflict with the kingdom of Satan. This earth where God placed man originally to rule, but where man forfeited that authority to rule the earth to Satan when he sinned. This earth where God came in flesh in the person of Jesus Christ. This earth where Jesus crushed Satan's head, destroyed his work, robbed his house. This earth where Jesus died physically, went to the grave, paid for our sins entirely, and then rose again from the dead triumphantly. This earth where Jesus now has all authority, and where He has commissioned His disciples to exercise that authority regained again from the enemy. This earth where the Holy Spirit was sent to empower the disciples, you and me, to carry on Christ's kingdom ministry. This earth where you and I are ambassadors for Jesus Christ and for His kingdom. This earth on which the kingdom of God is presently forcefully advancing. This earth where someday Jesus Christ will come back to and set up His eternal, absolute, perfect kingdom. This earth, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. The psalmist says, "The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. And one day the glory of the Lord will cover the earth as the waters cover the sea." In other words, it will be entirely enveloped with the glory of the Lord. I don't know about you, but I get excited about that. I look forward to that day. What a day that's going to be. Last time we studied about the Lord's Prayer together, about 2 or 3 weeks ago, we talked about the issue of praying God's kingdom to come to the earth. And we talked about the pattern by which that happens. Like dropping a stone in the water, it starts at the center and then concentric circles move out from there. We begin praying, "Kingdom of God, come to my life." And then come to those, to the lives of those around me, my dearest family members. And then the extended family. And beyond that, my church family. Beyond that, the city and nation in which I live. And then the nations of the world. It goes out, 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 out. We pray the kingdom of God into those realms. My question this morning is, what do you pray into those concentric circles? When you pray the kingdom of God, what do we ask for? Well, we pray that God's will, the will of God which is so freely and fully exercised in heaven, will also be done on earth in each of those areas. And we pray, when I pray kingdom of God come to my life this morning, I pray will of God be done in my life this morning, in me. Start there. Then move out to my wife and to my children. Then to my extended family. Then to my church family. And then we go on the concentric circles. It's the will of God that we long to be taking place and transpiring and working out in our lives. Once again, as in the former message, this is in the imperative mood. It's not a suggestion. It's not a plea. It's a command. Kingdom of God, come. Will of God, be done. On earth as it is in heaven. But, what is it that we want on earth? Do you realize that in prayer, you and I, and if these are just words, friends, you may have heard them before, my prayer this morning is, if nothing else, you hear what I'm about to say. In prayer, you and I as God's children have the privilege, indeed the responsibility, to bring heaven to bear upon the earth. You and I are the channels that God chooses to use to accomplish His work here. And one of our primary weapons of spiritual warfare, one of the primary vehicles we have for extending His kingdom and bringing about His will, is the avenue of prayer. Did you realize that when God's people don't pray, hell advances? Haven't you ever wondered why in a place like North America that has such solid Christian roots, look at our cultures today. Where have they gone? Why? Where have God's people been? Have we been on our knees? Have we been seeking the face of God? When we will not pray, hell advances. When we do pray, however, heaven advances and penetrates and dispels the hellishness around us. You may say, "Oh, I'm not sure I can buy that." Can't you? Well, let me give you some scripture. In 2 Chronicles 7:14, God said, "If my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Then will I hear from heaven. I will forgive their sin, and I will heal their land. You see the concentric circles? If my people, the ones who call me by my name, the ones who own me as their Savior and Lord, if those people start having the kingdom of God, the will of God come to their lives, and then it moves out from there, the impact of that will cover and indeed impact their very nation. In other words, we can stop the onslaught of hellish forces and we can begin to bring heaven to bear upon this earth. How is it that we can pray heaven down to earth? Now, I'm not talking in the literal sense. Heaven will always be heaven and earth will always be earth. When I use that term, I mean, how can we bring the will of God, the kingdom of God, in small portion at least, how can we bring it to bear upon the kingdoms of this world and our circumstance? How is it that we can do that? And what is God's will? When we pray, will of God be done on earth, is it? What are we praying for? What is it that we're asking God for? Well, friend, the answers to these questions can only be obtained from our source, which is God's Word. That's the only way we can find out what God means when He talks about praying in His will. Now, thankfully, God has already revealed in His Word what His will is for our lives, what His will is for our families, what His will is for the church, what His will is for this earth. He's already told us. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, we read that all Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness so that the man of God or woman of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. How many of you would like to be thoroughly equipped for every good work that God has for you to do? Nothing lacking. Would you like that? Well, don't you think that prayer is one of those good works? How do you get thoroughly equipped for prayer? How do you get so fully armed for spiritual warfare that you can, as it said in the promise we read at the beginning, pray, and even before you pray, know that you've obtained that which you're asking for? How do you get fully equipped for that? How? Through the Scriptures. It is the Scriptures that God teaches, through which He teaches us His will, through which He instructs us in the way that we should go. And that's why when we pray, we need to line ourselves up with God's plan and with His will. Somebody gave me an illustration a number of years ago from the electrical field. Apparently, where there's a wire running that is conducting electricity, a high-power wire, if you take another wire and put it parallel to that wire, even though it is not connected, if it is parallel and it gets close enough to it, the power will literally jump wires and flow through that wire. I found that interesting. I think there's a parallel there in terms of our lives with God. God is definitely surging. He is definitely moving. He has a purpose. He has a plan. He is moving in a direction. Our part is not to figure out some great and grandiose scheme and then say, okay, now Lord, bless my plans. Our part in prayer is to find out where God is flowing, what He is doing, what He wants to accomplish, and to line our lives up with Him. And to become parallel with His purposes, with His desires. And when we do, friends, the power of God, the flow of God will jump and will flow through us. And that's when He begins to accomplish what He wants in us and through us. When we line up with His kingdom. When we line up with His will. And that's why Paul said in Colossians 3:16, let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly. Richly. Not in famine fashion. Eat it, feast upon it, get it into your system. And then he says, teach and admonish one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. In other words, take this word and don't just read it, don't just rehearse it, don't just verbalize it in prose, sing it. And that's why it's so important to be singing the Scripture through the old hymns, through new choruses. Sing the Word of God, because as we do, like the young people were singing Psalm 5 to us this morning, as we rehearse the Word of God, as we sing it, as it becomes caught kind of in our spirit, it then begins to set the pattern for our thinking. It lines us up with where God is going and what He wants to do. So let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly. Jesus said in John 15:7, another one of those wow passages, If you abide in me and my word abides in you, ask whatever you want and it will be given to you. Now, I know a lot of Christians who've read those things and just said, "Oh, come on, that's garbage. There's no way God will do that. I prayed for things and it never happened. See, God is lying." Did you read the preamble? If you abide in me, and if what? My word, which equals my will, abides in you, then ask whatever you want, and it will be given to you. I remember a number of years back when I was a teenager reading a verse in Psalm 37:4, another one of the wow verses, and I thought, can this be? Where it says, delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. As a teenager, I had a lot of desires. And I thought, you mean all I have to do is be a Christian and God will give me everything I want? All right, I want to be a Christian. And then I read it again and realized there's a preamble. Delight yourself in the Lord. Make Him your delight, your passion, your love, your number one desire. Jesus said it differently in Matthew 6. Seek first the kingdom of God and all His righteousness. And then, of course, all these other things will be added unto you. You see what happens? The first time I read that verse, I thought, if I delighted myself in the Lord, okay, I'll do that as long as I can get everything I want. And I realized there's two sections to the next phase of the Lord giving me the desires of my heart. The first phase, He actually plants within my heart His desires. You see what happens when you get into the Word, when you start to read the Word, you start to meditate upon it, you start to say, Lord, I want to know Your will, I want to know Your heart, I want to know where You're going, I want my life to line up with You. What happens is by the Spirit of God, He takes these truths and He begins to, over time, change us on the inside. So that the things that I desired and longed for and wanted and were ultimately important to me when I was a teenager are almost entirely, completely different than what's important to me now in my life. But how have those things changed? Just because I've gotten older and lost some hair? No. Those things have changed primarily because I have changed my source from which I draw my priorities, from which I draw my perspective, from which I draw my insight. And as I've given myself to investigating the Scriptures, God by His Spirit transforms on the inside. Let me give you a very, very practical case. I was headed for a business career. My father had a business, a very successful one. He wanted to pass it down to my brother and I. I mean, we had it made in the shade, economically. It was a good business. And so I had taken training after high school in Europe, took a 7-month leave of absence, backpacked through Europe, West Africa, and Middle East, and was going home to again kind of take over the business. While I was in West Africa, visiting with a lot of our missionaries, I began to get rumblings in my... I was a Christian at the time. I loved the Lord, but God had called me to business. Or so I thought. And while I was in West Africa, the Lord made it absolutely clear to me that He was calling me into the ministry. Well, I want you to know that it was a fight. I didn't want to do it. I had my whole career set. I mean, I had my financial plans. And I mean, you don't go into the ministry for money, in case you hadn't noticed. And it was a war. I mean, I had it all set up. I said, God, You're going to mess up my life. Yeah, I'll be a Christian, I'll witness for You, but don't ask me to go in the ministry. But you know what the biggest fight for me was? It was schooling. I barely made it through school. I mean, I was one of those kids who just scraped by every grade on probation. You know, well, we'll try them next grade. Every year was like that. I mean, I don't know if I saw an A through all my... Maybe one or two A's. Yeah, typing and art, I got A's. Real intelligent guy, you know. And when God asked me to go into the ministry, the biggest reason was not financial. I settled down. I said, okay, I can trust You. I've seen You work in my life. The biggest thing for me was I knew if I said yes to God, I'd have to go back to Bible school. School. No, I'll do anything, Lord, but not Bible school. I had friends who went to Bible school, and they told me it was worse than university and worse than this. And I said, I didn't want to go. After 3 weeks of fighting God, In a place called Sanga Mali, which is 100 miles south of Timbuktu, literally. After 3 weeks of battling, one night at 2 o'clock in the morning, I went and walked under the stars in the compound and said, God, I can't fight You. If this is what You want for my life, okay. But Lord, You know I hate school. I'm scared to death. I don't think I can make it. What am I going to do? But the answer is yes. I will seek first Your kingdom. I will do what You want me to do. You've got to look after the details. I went back to bed. Friends, I will never forget the next morning. I woke up, and you know what was in my heart? A passion to go to Bible college. Yeah, where did it come from? I ended up graduating with honors. I know where I've come from. It wasn't me. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will plant within your heart His desires. Then, is it any problem for God to fulfill them? Of course not. Incidentally, I love the ministry. I love being a pastor. I can't imagine being anything less. It would be so subnormal and sub-average than what God has called me to do for me. I thank God that He did that. That's just an illustration. And so our task is to seek Him, to delight ourselves in Him, to get His Word into our hearts, and then He is responsible for changing the desires and then fulfilling them. It's only as we know God's will that we can have the assurance of answered prayer. And it's only as we feed our souls upon the Word of God that we find out what His will is. And that's why it's so important to get involved there. When we pray the Word of God, it's like putting, as I said, that wire parallel to an electrical current, and God can then flow through us and accomplish the things that He wants to. Now, I know some of you are still thinking, okay, let's get practical, Pastor. Sometimes I have prayed, I was absolutely sure I was praying in accordance with the will of God, and it didn't work. What about that? Well, we need to know that this issue of praying in the will of God is a process. Nobody has arrived, not even the Apostle Paul. None of us can say, yeah, I'm there, I understand all the time, all and all occasions exactly what the will of God is. Because every detail, quite frankly, is not spelled out in the Scriptures. Even sincere seekers of the will of God do not always know, regarding specific details, what God's purpose and plan for that time would be. And even in times when we think we know exactly what God's will is, God may even in those times have a higher plan than we do that we don't understand at the moment. And we need to remember that. I remember reading this a number of years ago, and it has always been significant for me. He asked for strength that He might achieve. He was made weak that He might obey. He asked for health that He might do greater things. He was given infirmity that He might do better things. He asked for riches that He might be happy. He was given poverty that He might be wise. He asked for power that He might have the praise of men. He was given weakness that He might feel the need of God. He asked for all things that He might enjoy life. He was given life that He might enjoy all things. See, God has said, my ways are not your ways, and my thoughts are not your thoughts. For as the heaven is higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than yours, and my thoughts higher than yours. And so we need to, when we pray, even when we think we know absolutely, case closed, this is God's will, we need to still pray like Jesus did in the Garden of Gethsemane. Lord, this is what I want. This is what I think is your will. This is what, more than anything, I would long to be your will for this occasion. Nevertheless, if there's any incongruity between the two, not my will, but thine be done. And that's important that we recognize our frailty in the process. We're just people who are learning. There's one more key truth to learning how to pray in accordance with God's will, and that is our spirit, which I believe is God's witness in terms of how to verify what His will is. In John chapter 14, verse 23, Jesus said, "If anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him." Get that? If anybody loves me, my Father and I will come and make our home with him. In other words, we'll move in. Friend, what is heaven? It's going to be with God. God is saying, I'm going to come and be with you. That sounds to me like heaven on earth, doesn't it? Hello? Yeah, that's heaven on earth. God coming to live with me, to be with me, to pervade my life. Yes, that's heaven on earth. Look at John 14, verse 25. Skip a verse and go and see how He does this. All this I have spoken while still with you. The Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, He will teach you all things. He will remind you of everything that I have said to you. In other words, He will remind you of things even if in your human strength you can't bring them back. Let me use a computer illustration here for those of you who are computer buffs. I'm amazed at how the computer can constantly bring stuff that I need to find it in that little box. Nevertheless, my task when I use a computer is to get the information on, to get the data, to store it on. I type it in, I get it in, I get it in. Okay? Our task as believers is to store the Word of God on our hard disk. Hard disk, no, nothing intended there. We need to get it on, put it in, eat it, memorize it, rehearse it, work on it. Get to know what God's will is according to the Word. It is then the Holy Spirit's job to bring up on the screen of our memory and our consciousness that which we need when we need it, given the certain circumstance. I've been in times of ministry so many times, in counseling situations or others, where something's going on around me and I need to know from God what He would have us do. Think of particular counseling situations where I'm saying, God, these people are explaining their situation. I'm saying, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to tell these people. And under my breath, I'm smiling, but under my breath, I'm saying, Lord, what in the world do I tell these folks? And in those moments, scriptures come to my mind. Scriptures that I memorized as a kid, that I studied 15 years ago. They're there. And I share them, and God uses them to wonderfully weave out the circumstance and the answer for those people. It's the Holy Spirit's job to bring to our remembrance, to bring it back up onto the screen. It's the Holy Spirit's job also, in terms of praying with the will of God, to remind us which scriptures we need when we're praying for certain circumstances. And so that's why it's so important. Get the Word onto your hard disk. Get it into your memory. And then let the Spirit of God bring to your mind those truths that you need when you're praying for specifics. In John 16:13, just over the page, He says there in verse 16, 13, and 14, when He, the Spirit of truth, comes, He will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on His own. He will speak only what He hears, and He will tell you what is yet to come. He will bring glory to Me by taking from what is Mine and making it known to you. He is the one who does this. It's the Holy Spirit. Friends, I believe that this is the essence of biblical faith. I don't have time here this morning to give teaching on faith, although I would love to. But faith, basically, what it means, there's other scriptures that say if we pray believing, we have what we receive. But what is that believing? What is that faith that is required to make our prayers effective in accomplishing them? What is that faith? Faith, in its essence, is simply this. It is the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by what? The Word of God. Faith is the Word of God applied by the Spirit of God to the heart of the child of God. You see, unless the Spirit of God makes this mine, it is just white or black ink on white pages. They're promises, yes, but are they for me? Are they for you? And that's why I need to meditate. I need to get into it. And in the process, the Spirit says, yes, this is for you. And He makes it mine in certain circumstances. And when that happens, that's the essence of faith being born in our lives, and then we can pray in accordance with the will of God. A lot of people wonder, particularly in the area of healing, physical healing, there's a lot of confusion, a lot of misunderstanding about praying in the will of God as it relates to people being healed. Well, how many of you believe that God is interested in healing physical bodies? Okay, yeah, the Bible says that He, one of His names is Jehovah Rapha. I am the Lord who healed you. He declared that. When He came here in the person of Jesus, He healed all who came to Him. That's part of His nature, is to bring healing ministry to people. So when I read the Scriptures, for me as an individual Christian and also as an elder in the church, it behooves me, the healing ministry is part of that commission that God has given to us. And so I try and teach it, I try and obey it, and I definitely pray for sick people. Now some people are healed instantly. Other people are healed gradually. And other people are healed permanently, which is a euphemism for they die and get their new perfect body in heaven. It's not just a cute way around the issue. I mean it sincerely. Sometimes the best thing God can do for people is to move them out of this situation and bring them to complete wholeness in heaven. But the question still remains, why is it when we really believe that God should heal somebody physically and restore them, when it would seem to us the best that if He would just do that, it would be so much better for His kingdom, why doesn't He? And why do some of those people end up dying? In James chapter 5, it gives instructions to the church. It says, is any one of you sick? He should call the elders of the church to pray over him and anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise him up. Those are pretty strong, wow promises. I tell you, as a pastor, a young pastor, I remember trying this. We would anoint people, we would pray what we thought was the prayer of faith, and they'd die. And I thought, God, either your word is lying to me, or I'm missing something here. And it really made me question what's going on. As I studied and I investigated this more and more, I realized the key here is, what is this prayer of faith that is offered? What is it? There's no question the Lord can raise him up, but what is God requiring of us? I've been with elders praying over people, and it's almost like you feel like it's a spiritual pep rally. I believe, I believe, I believe, I believe. Okay, let's pray. You know, is that faith? No. What is faith that heals the sick, that brings this ministry of healing to people? What is it? It is when God's Spirit prods my spirit with an inner confidence that His Word and His promises have been applied specifically to that situation. And God, at least in my experience, doesn't always do that every time leaders pray for somebody. I think it's biblical that we always pray for the sick and always ask God for healing. But the prayer of faith that is mentioned here, I think specifically, is when the Spirit of God in those times makes it very clear to those who are praying in unity that this is what He wants to do and that His promises are applied specifically in that situation. I've had times since then where we've practiced this principle and found it to be true. And there are times, quite frankly, when as leaders we've been praying for somebody and we would pray, we wanted God's best for them, but there was no real sense in our spirit